Often overlooked is the importance of interoperability between not only the second layer protocol and Bitcoin, but the layer 2 protocols themselves. A second layer where end users can leverage several protocols together and move seamlessly between them creates a healthier, more resilient financial system and an overall better user experience, both essential for mass adoption. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. And we've got a great one today. We're going to take a break in our series of article discussions about the whole sidechains things that was started with Anthony Towns' piece. And we will be getting right back into that. But I think this one's actually really important to kind of ground us back in the today rather than thinking about, okay, where are we going to be when we have a billion users? Let's actually look at exactly what we have today and figure out how to optimize and make those the most important and most useful tools for sovereignty and for ease of usability for the greatest number of people today. Let's make that work. And this is the Layer 2 report from Blockstream. And this is written by Chase Smith. I actually think I called him Chris in the guy's take. My bad. I have Twitter, his Twitter in the show notes. And I just realized I don't know if he's on. Yes, he is. He is on Noster. I will have his MPub as well. So you can follow him on Noster. I just followed him on both. But again, this is the Layer 2 report from Blockstream. And this is about the interoperability with all of the various layer 2 protocols on Bitcoin and how this is going to allow us to maximize all the different features, the privacy, the security, the speed, and the usability of Bitcoin for as many people as possible. So I won't lead it too much and we will get right into it. This show is brought to you by the Fold card, the debit card that gets you sats back on everything in your life. The Fold app, you should have the Fold app even if you don't have the debit card. But after you start using it, you're probably going to want to get the debit card. But you can get 100,000 sats for free with my link, bitcoinaudible.com/fold, which is right in the show notes. And then after you go get your 100,000 sats for free, you're going to want to send them to your cold card so that you actually own them. You withdraw. That's what you do. If you have Bitcoin on exchange, you withdraw to your cold card. You get it on your hardware device, and you can get 9% off the cold card. Or you've got tap signers, you've got open dimes, you've got sats cards. There are a ton of amazing Bitcoin hardware and security products at CoinKite. Go to bitcoinaudible.com/coldcard, and don't forget Bitcoin Audible, 9% off. It's right there in the show notes. And then lastly, something else you're going to send to your cold card is your Bitcoin acceptance integration. You want to accept Bitcoin over Lightning? You don't want to run a node. You want to deal with BTC Pay Server. For as amazing as that software is, it is not easy for the normie. And honestly, you just want something that works. That is nodeless.io. And they actually have a referral program as well, which obviously I'd love for you to use my referral link, but if you've got someone who wants to, you want to get your grandmother accepting Bitcoin payments for her embroidery, I don't know, you can get her set up in no time on Nodeless. Use your referral link and you'll earn just a little bit of sats every time she sells something. And checking out our sponsors is a great way to both help the show, but also help yourself. I don't shill these arbitrarily. They're the services literally that I use and love. So do yourself a favor, check them out. The links for all of them are right there in the show notes. With that, let's get into today's read. And it's titled, Increasing Interoperability Between Bitcoin's Second Layer Protocols by Chase Smith from Blockstream's Layer 2 Report. The prevailing wisdom is that in order to achieve hyper-Bitcoinization, Bitcoin should scale in layers. The current discussion or debate is mainly centered around which Layer 2 solution is best suited for this. Growing evidence suggests, however, there is no one-size-fits-all approach, but rather many complementary protocols, each addressing different problems and catering to specific use cases and markets. In this edition of Layer 2 Report, we look at some of the second layer protocols in detail. Among other things, we will explore their interoperability, or lack thereof, and the projects using these solutions to promote mass adoption. We will also look at some of the various growing pains experienced so far, as seen recently as a result of May's high-fee market environment. Choosing the right tool for the job. Each second layer addresses a unique set of limitations inherent in the main chain, such as the lack of high transaction throughput, privacy, or the ability to issue assets. For example, if you want to send a friend a small amount of sats and value affordability and speed, Lightning is likely the best option. Whereas if you are a financial institution wanting to issue an asset like a bond or digital security, it makes more sense to use Liquid. There are also varying trade-offs when using each solution that may affect a user's decision to opt in, like Lightning's liquidity constraints or the trust requirements, albeit distributed, seen with federated models such as Liquid and Fedimint. As creator Burak has openly shared, even the newest addition to the Layer 2 landscape, Arc, has trade-offs with the main chain and other L2s. Like the old analogy of choosing the right tool for the job, in a hyper-Bitcoinized world, users can expect to have a toolkit of L2s at their disposal, with different capabilities and trade-offs. Increasing interoperability. Often overlooked is the importance of interoperability between not only the second layer protocol and Bitcoin, but the layer 2 protocols themselves. A second layer, where end users can leverage several protocols together and move seamlessly between them, creates a healthier, more resilient financial system and an overall better user experience, both essential for mass adoption. For example, by running Lightning on top of Liquid, users gain greater privacy, additional liquidity, and cheaper fees, and much more as we will explore later. While both Liquid and Lightning networks operate independently, they are complementary and interoperable. Offering a secure alternative method to stacking sats or a more cost-effective option to Lightning channel rebalancing, especially when fees are high on the main chain. Elements, the open-source codebase that Liquid is built on, is designed to be as close to parity with Bitcoin Core as possible. This not only offers some nice security guarantees, since any bug fix or performance improvement upstream in Bitcoin can be merged into Elements, but also greater interoperability with other L2s, given that its design functions very similarly to Bitcoin. Connecting the second layer with Lightning. The basis of Lightning is its network of payment channels, which are fundamentally made possible through Bitcoin's unspent transaction outputs, UTXOs, in conjunction with Lightning's hash time lock contracts, or HTLCs. The UTXO model allows certain script conditions and hash puzzles and time constraints to be encoded in the transaction for payment to be securely routed across Lightning. One of the many design features that Liquid inherits from Bitcoin is its UTXO model. This compatibility allows Lightning's HTLCs to function with Liquid Bitcoin, or LBTC, in a manner similar to how they function with Bitcoin, enabling the payment network to operate on top of Liquid. Note that this Lightning network on Liquid would run as a separate network, but with all the advantages of Liquid as its underlying chain. For example, confidential transactions and deterministic blocks. You could even bridge the two networks if you ran both, one on top of Bitcoin, the other on Liquid for greater cross-platform compatibility. The payments remain end-to-end secure, since both use the HTLC construction. The bridge, however, gets to dictate a dynamic exchange rate if the two assets being transferred are different, which is not an issue while transferring Bitcoin and LBTC since they are pegged. Lightning's inherent decentralization, wide adoption, and compatibility with UTXO-based technologies could position it as the connective tissue between each L2. It could act as a primary hub for new protocols, seeking to bridge to existing ones, helping to avoid the chicken-and-egg problem of adoption that has plagued new protocols in the past. This thesis has begun to play out more recently, with several big-name exchanges adding Lightning and swap platforms incorporating Liquid with Lightning to leverage the benefits of both protocols. Unfairly cheap with Lightning and Liquid. In early May, on-chain Bitcoin transaction costs surged due to network congestion, resulting in the highest fees seen in nearly 2 years. This affected major exchanges like Binance and Coinbase, and even some Lightning-compatible wallets like Moon, pricing some users out of the market entirely. This week-long episode underscored the importance of hardening scalability solutions like Lightning, which have so far relied on main-chain transactions to keep liquidity balanced. The event also raised awareness of the powerful benefits of using Layer 2 technologies together, especially when fees on Bitcoin's main chain are not only high, but also volatile. One of the new products in market driven by this episode is the use of liquid submarine swaps by Bolt to offer cheap Lightning Channel liquidity to its users. As opening a Lightning Channel requires an on-chain transaction, and many users rely on the main chain to add liquidity to their Lightning node, costs can quickly add up in high fee conditions. But using the liquid sidechain instead of the Bitcoin main chain as the underlying liquidity source, users can rebalance their Lightning channels independently from the congested main chain mempool, and do so without losing self-custody of their funds, thanks to the atomic nature of the swap. In a high-fee scenario, users can expect upwards of 99% savings using the liquid swap feature. Bolts intends to expand the scope of their liquid integration by building an LBTC to BTC chain-to-chain atomic swap for trustless peg-outs, the first of its kind. You can read more about Bolt's decision to add liquid and why in their write-up here. Another option for users is the self-hosted rebalancing protocol PeerSwap, which allows Lightning Node operators to rebalance their channels with peers directly using BTC and LBTC atomic swaps. This setup eliminates the need for a third-party coordinator for even greater savings and allows smaller nodes to better compete with larger ones. PeerSwap is currently available for both CLN and LND implementations. The story does not end there, though. In addition to provisioning Lightning liquidity with Liquid, users turned to Lightning and Liquid swaps to stack sats, and humbly, I might add. Many used a cheap starting point like Strike, Cash App, or some other fiat on-ramp to buy Lightning Bitcoin, LNBTC, directly, and then moved to one of the growing number of Lightning to Liquid swap services, like Bolts, Sideshift, or Classic CoinOS, to convert to LBTC to HODL for the midterm. So why would anyone HODL in LBTC rather than Lightning BTC? Unlike with Lightning, liquid assets can be self-custodied offline in cold storage, like on a hardware device such as Jade. This setup is better for HODLing over a longer time frame, another difference to consider when deciding what Layer 2 solution is best for you and your specific use case. The emergence of the Bitcoin Super App. Some builders are already working on improving the Bitcoin Layer 2 user experience by directly integrating swaps and multi-protocol support into their app offerings. For example, the Blockstream Green team is in the final stages of adding Lightning capability via Greenlight, giving Bitcoiners the ability to self-custody main chain, Liquid, and Lightning all in one app. Green, Sideswap, and soon-to-be re-released version of the Aqua wallet also plan to incorporate in-app Lightning to Liquid swaps using the Bolt's API. Walby, a new anointed Bitcoin super app, supports the custody of mainchain, Liquid, and rootstock, with further plans to add Lightning and RGB. The Walby team is also placing emphasis on features. For instance, users can already add Bitcoin and other digital assets to liquidity pools and earn interest through an automated market maker, with the ability to lend and borrow peer-to-peer, and perform cross-chain swaps also on the way. The emergence of these Bitcoin super apps and new features like in-app swaps prioritizes improving user experience, something the Bitcoin space is notoriously bad at, to the point that it has become a running meme. This pivot in Lightning's maturation as a sort of lingua franca of Bitcoin will be a crucial part of the strategy for increasing Layer 2 interoperability and facilitating mass adoption. Each protocol will have a unique place in the hyper-Bitcoinization story, ending in a second layer that is stronger than each individual protocol on its own. This episode is brought to you by the Fold Debit Card. If you're using fiat, you should be getting free sats. Do you buy stuff on Amazon? Are you getting 2.5% back in Bitcoin? When you spend $100 on Amazon, are you getting $2.50 in Bitcoin? When you buy your groceries, are you getting 1% base in sats plus free spins? When you get an Uber, are you getting 3% back in sats? Using the Fold debit card and the Fold app is by far the simplest thing that I have switched in my fiat life to stack an enormous amount of sats without doing anything differently. I switched my debit card, and now when I have it available to me to the merchants that I use gift cards on Fold. I have stacked 24 million sats this way. Passively, if you have not checked out Fold, use my referral link at bitcoinaudible.com/fold, and you will get 100,000 sats for free. And not because you signed up for the Spin Plus or anything, you just go sign up for the normal version, the free version. Or just download the app and look around. 100,000 sats is not, you should not pass that up. You should check that out. Again, at my link, bitcoinaudible.com/fold, and you will find it right in the description of this episode. All right, so this piece kind of interrupts our discussion thread that we had started with Anthony Towns' piece and then James O'Byrne's piece, and we will get into the follow-up to that as well. But this one I thought was really important to kind of ground us back to where we are today, rather than thinking, you know, in 20 years, how much of a problem are we going to have? Because it's a really fun thought experiment, but remember, the best way to actually get there is to make best use and incremental improvements to the tools we have today. And I really feel like Blockstream is doing an awesome job with what they are doing with Greenlight and what Breeze is doing with the SDK and what the new Green Wallet is going to be in making these things more interoperable. And specifically, so just to kind of break down a lot of these things, so the Breeze SDK is a development kit that allows you to just basically plug in to the Breeze Lightning Service Provider and have a very simple set of tools to just integrate to build Lightning operations, to put Lightning into your app without having to really understand Lightning, without having to do channel management or anything like that. Basically a plug and play, put some access, some API access and some lines of code into your app without having to know how to make the transaction specifically or make a channel or anything like that. It essentially just does it for you in the background, and it plugs into the Breeze LSP. And I actually think they talked about, we're going to have Roy on the show very, very soon. We're going to be talking a lot about this stuff, but I'm pretty sure they are building a software, whether or not it's going to be in the Breeze SDK or they're releasing it as some sort of a separate thing. But I feel like in one of the pieces that we read on the show by Roy, was essentially a model, a piece of software for running an LSP. So not just plugging into their LSP, but basically creating the system or a node that operates like an LSP for someone else by default. So I will confirm that with Roy when we talk, where I will be doing the recording tomorrow. That is really crazy and really exciting to me. Regardless, the Breeze SDK in particular is to just plug all apps. I think the piece is read 732. We need more apps with Lightning, not more Lightning apps. So I will link to that in the show notes if you want to check that out if you haven't listened to it yet. But that's basically a built-in, like a extremely simple plug your app into Lightning or with Lightning functionality toolkit. Whereas Greenlight is Blockstream's nodes as a service product, which is really fascinating from that standpoint, is this is a way to essentially have a plug and play, like insanely fast to set up. And I mean that in the sense that there appears no syncing process, because what they're doing is on their end, they're essentially cloning one of their nodes in the cloud and booting it up immediately. And then you can automatically plug into the Breeze SDK and you can send and receive Lightning transactions. But here's the crazy thing is that you are still holding your own keys. They're offering the infrastructure. They're offering the node. They're offering the channel management. They're offering the forward and liquidity management and forwarding payments and the holding of payments and all of these things as services to your node or to your app, to your interface, while you are actually still holding the keys. So you still write down your 12 or 24 words. And Blockstream does not have access to your funds, and Breeze does not have access to your funds. It's just a plug-and-play Lightning interface, which is such a powerful combination, and it's something that takes the LSP model to another layer. Like, the LSP model is already an incredibly powerful model from the user experience side of things. So all of this, and then plugging Liquid into this, I really think the Green Wallet is going to be, or just Green Wallet, which has always been a really, like a long-standing Bitcoin wallet of mine. It really hasn't been until Nunchuck that I saw my use of Green Wallet diminish quite a bit, just because I really love the NFC and tap signers with my mobile. So... and Nunchuck is just also just a really great wallet. But I will admit that Green Wallet is, I would probably say, is more user UX, has a slightly better UX because it's a little bit simpler of an interface. You know, the keys and what you have in Nunchuck, I can see a new user being confused by how their setup works. As a Bitcoiner, obviously, I know all the pieces of the puzzle, so I really love the way Nunchuck works, and I think it's as simple as it gets with the functionality that I'm looking for in a wallet. But I think if I was trying to direct it to the genuine normie, I'd probably do the interface of Green different. I would do the interface of all of them different, because you just don't want to... The less you can show to the absolute normie, if they don't know the intricacies or the trade-offs of Liquid or Lightning or on-chain, and you know they don't have hours to explain kind of what these different constructs are, then you don't want them to see any of it. But I think in the context of a Bitcoiner, the green wallet is just going to be awesome, because we're talking about the non-custodial or the quote-unquote hold your own keys version of all three of these. And to have these interoperable, to have it easy to move back and forth, I'm actually a user of Liquid. Not many people are. It's incredibly difficult to find somebody who will use Liquid. And the adoption of this in swap services and, you know, SideSwap or whatever, CoinSwap, like these sorts of things that they're talking about, and then Bolts, this is one thing that I really think Blockstream should work on, is the on-ramps and off-ramps into Liquid. Is I think Liquid would have far, far better adoption if you could just send and receive automatically, if there was just like a Liquid LSP, rather than a Lightning service provider, a Liquid service provider, where the Federation genuinely just kind of sent and received like accepted transactions on chain or on Lightning. You had just dedicated bridges that made these things interoperable, because even going through a specific swap service is just another step that is confusing. Like, a great example is Phoenix Wallet. Is if I had to specifically go to a service on Phoenix and swap between on-chain and Lightning, I wouldn't be recommending it to people. I wouldn't onboard people with Phoenix. And one of the things about Wallet of Satoshi, when I do onboard people with custodial services, and then I get them onto Phoenix, is the great thing about Wallet of Satoshi is that you have the Lightning address, so you can get zaps. And then when it becomes any sort of a meaningful amount, is that you offload them, you get them onto Phoenix or something like that. But I don't have to worry about, you know, if it was 1,000 sats that they got on their first Phoenix payment, well, then that's a little bit of a headache to have to be like, well, you're not going to get that, or you're going to pay all of that in the fee to quote-unquote receive the transaction, and so you're not going to really get anything. Whereas Wallet of Satoshi, you can just get zapped 1,000 sats and it will work. And then when it becomes $50, $100 worth, you know, 1,000,000 sats or 100,000 sats, and it's, you know, somewhere in between that, where it becomes a significant amount of money, and they're like, oh, well, this is an interesting thing that I have in my wallet. Well, then you can bump it over to Phoenix, And you never have to, you don't have to think about the fact that, did it go on chain? Did it go on Lightning? Like, how did it get there? It just went. It just goes. And I really think that Liquid needs that sort of interoperability. And I love that this is improving a lot, because I think Liquid really has a crucial place in the ecosystem, especially with the fact that one of the things that they talk about is that Liquid is built just like Bitcoin. So if there are any bug fixes or anything, you can integrate it into Liquid. And I think that lends itself to so many different advantages, but it's still missing that just dirt simple interoperability with the user. Interoperability, it's not really the word, to steal their word. But if I was trying to target like massive usability, like the maximum ease of use, I might literally set it up as like three different options for how to receive a transaction. And I would give them stats like in a video game. Like, let's say you're picking three different characters, or you're picking three different cars. That's a better example. Three different cars in a video game, and they have three different stats. Let's say it's speed, privacy, and maybe long-term security or something. I'd figure out some way to make it time-based. And then you just have the three options, and it's Lightning has the highest speed, shortest term security, and middling privacy. Liquid has the middling speed, highest privacy, and middling security. Bitcoin on chain has the slowest speed, middling maybe to lowest privacy, and maximum security. And then the user picks which one that they want at any time, or maybe they can pick like a predominant method and then, you know, a backup method, kind of like slash tags actually, right? Is that slash tags gives you a priority of how you want to set up your transaction, how you want to receive transactions, and somebody else does the same thing on their side. And then you basically pick the highest common denominator between the two and automatically fulfill the payment that way. Well, in this sense, you could kind of do the same thing for the wallet. Now, I'm not saying that you want to like set them up like cars, like you're picking characters in a video game. I'm just saying that in that interface, there's no video game user who goes, well, what the hell am I picking? They see the difference between the cars. I'm using that as an example of, you don't have to explain that to the user. The user intuitively gets it. But in that sense, you need to be able to just automatically switch between Liquid and Lightning and Bitcoin, in the sense that, and I guess that probably means integration with other services. But if you have a Breeze SDK, Breeze SDK is a perfect example, actually. You need the Liquid SDK. You need the exact same thing. You need to be able to go instantly between Lightning and Liquid, Bitcoin and Liquid, and any other combination of the three. And I think obviously this is kind of the whole point here, excuse me, is that increasing interoperability between Bitcoin's second layers. So, I mean, that's kind of the whole article, the whole layer two report, is that this is what we're talking about. And I think the new green wallet is going to be a huge step in the right direction, but I still think Liquid has the highest barrier. And by the length of time that it's been around and the ease that it could be, I really think that problem could be solved. It shouldn't need a bunch of coin swap services and things like that. I mean, in a sense, that's what you need, but I think there should be an easier way to integrate with that so that the user isn't realizing that that's what they're doing. Like, I still have, I think at this point it's only like $100 or something like that in LBTC. I can't remember exactly. Maybe it's like a million liquid sats. But I did this in the Aqua wallet and it was a pretty easy setup. But I think I remember kind of being like, okay, so what's the service? I had to find a way to get it back. I don't think there is an in-app way to swap. I ended up using CoinOS, which is actually one that they recommend, or they mention specifically in this article. And CoinOS.io originally was, it's actually a lot different now. They've kind of reoriented themselves around not just being a wallet interface that talked all three. And in fact, actually, I had forgotten about CoinOS recently, and that was one that literally did exactly that. Like, they basically acted like a LSP, a Liquid service provider, a Lightning service provider, and a Bitcoin on-chain wallet. It was custodial, but it would just bounce between all of them. Like, so I could send a Lightning payment to the CoinOS wallet. I could send a Bitcoin payment to the CoinOS wallet. Like, I could send a million sats over Lightning, a million sats on Bitcoin on-chain, and then I could send out 2 million sats on Liquid. And everything just freely swapped between anything, and I didn't. All I did was scan the address, right? I did, if it was a Lightning invoice, I just scanned that. If it was a Liquid address, I scanned that. And if it was a Bitcoin address, I scanned that. And it would just change to whatever it needed to fulfill the payment. I actually can't believe that I kind of forgot that that service existed. And I used it for a good little bit before I... Basically, I lost the need to do Liquid because, again, after I had it on Liquid, there wasn't a whole lot I could do with it, at least as far as like a user who's, you know, looking for what, merchant services or buying gift cards or stacking or doing channel liquidity. Like, if I could do Lightning easily on Liquid, which is what this article kind of talks about, Layer 2 report, is having Lightning interoperable on top of Liquid, which is really exciting. I think that is because I think the, you know, Liquid has 2 minute blocks and confidential transactions. So the Lightning network, the source of the funds of your Lightning network channel, I don't think has, I mean, it obviously has an on-chain footprint, but I think as soon as you are closing out and you're settling, everything's a confidential transaction. So it's much easier to gain privacy, despite the fact that you're even still technically broadcasting the gossip protocol to the gossip protocol on Lightning, what your channel status is and how much your rough balance is in any particular direction so that you can actually route. But specifically, if you're not trying to route, if you're trying to be an end consumer, it's actually a great way. It's probably a really fantastic way, actually, to think about it, to receive Lightning and then separate that from the on-chain Bitcoin that you eventually have by having a Liquid confidential transaction or two before going out back to on-chain Bitcoin. And Chris specifically talks about this in the piece too, is that one of the important elements of these different layer two protocols is the various trade-offs that they give, in the sense that you get some outsized benefit in one direction. Like, if you're looking for privacy, or if you're looking for speed, or if you're looking for low cost, or if you're looking for just absolute max security and censorship resistant, you need to escape tyranny, you go on-chain Bitcoin, right? And I think that combination is really powerful. And the fact that you have a censorship resistant, decentralized global base is why we can make these trade-offs and we can get these added benefits of each of these individual options. And I think Fediment and eCash are going to be crucial to these sorts of things because you get such an outsized benefit of privacy, especially within the network. And then you can combine that with the interoperability with Lightning. But I think that's where this next era is going. And, you know, talking about all this, how do we get a billion people onto Lightning stuff, is I really think that's this next cycle is not only going to be the real kind of 10x, like the major, major jump and push toward Lightning ubiquity, but also in the interoperability of Lightning and all of the other layer twos, specifically because of the Lightning ubiquity. Essentially, your layer two is going to be a pain in the ass to use if it does not bridge and speak Lightning natively. So if you have a layer two app, it will have to speak Lightning. And what I mean by layer two app is specifically like a sidechain sort of setup, or a Fediment setup, or an eCash, or an Arc, or a Liquid. All of those sorts of things will need to talk Lightning, because Lightning will be the way to get on and off, or get to transfer between. Like, if I have Cashew and you have Fediment, how am I going to make that payment? We're on two completely different sidechains. It is going to be in the fulfillment of a Lightning bridge, a Lightning invoice between them, that is going to make that settlement happen. And it's going to make it seem like all of these networks are one network. So this is something specifically that I'm keeping a really, really close eye on And I'm super, super stoked about finally seeing this stuff come to fruition, because some of these tools have been in the process of being built for 3 or 4 years. I know Breeze SDK was a really long project. Greenlight is something that they've been, has been around, but it's been kind of in alpha and beta stages for like 2 years. But these are super, super ambitious projects. So it's exciting to see these come to fruition. I'm actually going to be able to play with them really, really soon. So we'll be covering a lot of it on the show. With that, thank you guys so much. We will be getting into the third series of the Anthony Towns, James O'Byrne, and I can't even remember who the third article was by, but I've got it saved in my notes, so we'll get to it. But it's a really exciting one. He talks a lot about, Alex B., and talks about ARC a lot. So we will get into that and talk about it from a slightly different framing, and I think his is really exciting to follow up with. And then we'll also hit Fiat Jaff's a little bit pessimistic. I mean, Fiat Jaff is a very opinionated person, and he's got very strong conviction about the way that he sees things, and I genuinely and super appreciate it, and I really like his piece, but it's a little bit doom and gloomy. But we will read it, we will cover it, and I'll talk about it on the show. So stay tuned. Don't miss it. We got a lot of fun stuff coming. And don't forget to check out our amazing sponsors who make this show possible. That is the Fold card, the debit card that pays you sats back on everything in your life. Nodeless, because easy matters. Simple integration for Bitcoin, accepting Bitcoin payments, accepting Lightning payments, and sending it directly to your cold storage, which is on your cold card, which you can get 9% off with code BitcoinAudible. Keep it safe. Keep it on your cold card. With that, thank you guys so much for listening, and I will catch you on the next episode of Bitcoin Audible. Until then, everybody, take it easy, guys. The worthwhile problems are the ones you can really solve or help solve. The ones you can really contribute something to. No problem is too small or too trivial if we can really do something about it. Richard Feynman.